had a good week. I always enjoy coming to Welcome Baptist Church. We love you people here. Music was good this morning, wasn't it? All of it. The choir does a superlative job. And then the specials. And if you see me hopping around, limping around, it's because I was cutting up a great big red oak tree back here about 2 months ago when a great big piece of that thing fell right on my foot. And so every time I put my foot down, man, it hurts. So, and I just wanted you to know I didn't kick my wife, and I didn't kick the mule. And I remember when I was in high school, some of you are familiar with FFA and 4-H, and we had show steers and all. You know, came up on a farm, and when we was at the it was in Macon, Georgia, the state fair, that's what it was, and had our show steers there. And we had a county agent, this was 4-H, his name was Alan Fulford, and he had a temper. Oh, that man had a temper. And I never forget, I believe it was Rosemary Gideon, now that was her name, and she had a black Angus, and it was a pretty thing. And Alan Fulford was grooming that steer, getting it ready for the show because it was, you know, a good one. And that I was looking over there while he was grooming that thing, and that steer hauled off and kicked the fire out of him. Well, him having the temper he had, when that steer kicked him, he kicked the thing back. Well, when he did, I ain't making it up, the steer kicked him again, and he kicked the steer again. And I'm over there about to die laughing because every time the cow kicked them, he kicked it back, you know. That was the funniest thing to me. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God, please, if your health will allow you, and turn to John chapter 5. We'll preach an evangelistic message this morning, that the Lord willing this evening, service at 6 this evening. I'll be preaching them. I don't think I've ever preached either one of these messages here. This evening I hope to preach from Ezekiel 47 on waters to swim in. You got to get in water, you know, deep enough to swim in. And you'll find that phrase in the Bible. In Ezekiel 47, it says waters to swim in. That's where I took my title from, right out of the Bible. So I hope you'll be here this evening. I'll be preaching on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And but this morning I'm preaching on whosoever, whatsoever, but not whensoever. Whosoever, whatsoever, but not whensoever. Being an evangelist, I have a real burden for lost souls. It just pains me in the heart to see so many people going to hell. And I'd push my heart out this morning if there was only just one lost soul in here. Yeah, I hate to see people go to hell. It pains me in the heart. John chapter 5, I begin reading with verse 1. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now you see where I'm getting the title of a message from. See the word whosoever, whatsoever in that verse, but you don't see the word whensoever. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You may be seated. I'll lead us in a word of prayer as I pray audibly. Would you pray right there in your heart? Ask God to speak. Only God can make this service what it ought to be. Only God. Now, Father, our God in heaven, Father, thank this beautiful day. And this is the day, God, you've made, so, Father, rejoice and be glad it. Thank you so much, God, for the privilege and the health to go to church. Father, it's wonderful to go to church. Ain't nothing like it, God. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for the privilege to live for you and save you. Thank you, God. And oh, God, we bow in your presence. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, send revival to the churches of America. Please give us a spiritual awakening in our nation. Please turn this nation back to God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, please save the millions in our country lost without God going to hell. And Father, if there's one here lost this morning, God, save that soul. Please speak to the heart. Oh, God, move. Father, in Jesus' name, continue to bless this church family. Thank you for these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this dear pastor. Thank you for giving us a kindred spirit. Bless him and his family. And his ministry, God. Keep your hand on all us, God. Oh, God, in these days, God, please give Jesus souls for our labor. In Jesus' name. God, please now, fill me the power of the Holy Ghost to bring this message. Give me liberty. Make it easy for the priest. Bless everyone here. Please see to it that everyone here gets blessed, gets touched by you, God. Give us that sense of God, that awesome awareness, your touch, your power, your spirit in our midst. Jesus' name we pray, ask it all for his sake. Amen. Whosoever, whatsoever, but not whensoever. You know, I think most, if not all, the healing miracles in the Bible are a picture of getting saved. You take, for example, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that's a picture of being raised from death unto life spiritually. See? And so I see a beautiful story here in this passage of lost people being saved. It's a picture, I think, of lost people being saved. Whosoever, whatsoever, but not whensoever. Let's look at it in that light. So first of all, we notice the word whosoever. Key verse in our text, of course, is verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first answered the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now notice, an angel went down in the water. Only John's gospel records this miracle. But it don't have to be in the Bible one time for it to be so. But this is an unusual story. This didn't happen every day. Probably didn't happen every week or every month. It was seasonal. See, the Bible says angel came down at a certain season and troubled the water. And then when a person got into that troubled water, the first one in there. And only the first one was healed. See, it's an unusual story. Very unusual. See. And if they got in the water, when the water was not agitated, they were not healed. The water had to be troubled. See? And that reminds us of the fact that the water's got to be troubled for you and I to get saved. See? You say, I get saved when I want to. No, you won't neither. You get saved when God says get saved, or you won't get saved. And that's not hyper-Calvinism. No, that's just simply John 6:44. No man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. And I raise him up at the last day. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to get a sinner willing to come to Jesus and get saved. See? But anyway, notice whosoever then first acted the troubling of the water. It didn't matter whether it was a Jew or Gentile. It didn't matter whether it was a Jew from Judea or Samaritan from Samaria or Gentile from Galilee. It didn't matter whether they were from Israel or Egypt or Syria. It didn't matter where they were from. If they could only get in the water, they were healed. See? It didn't matter whether they were white, black, red, or yellow. It didn't matter whether they were, listen, from Europe, Asia, Africa. It didn't matter whether they were rich or poor. It didn't matter whether they were from city or from the country. It didn't matter whether it was a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. If they could only get in the water, they were healed, see. And you know the application. That's whosoever will, see. Anybody, see. You don't have to go to hell. If you want to be saved, God will save you. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood to make atonement for your sins, for the sins of the whole world. The Bible said he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. See, Jesus died for you. If you don't get saved, when you stand at the great white throne judgment, you'll not be able to point your finger at God and say that you didn't have a chance and that Christ didn't die for you. See, that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's Romans 10:9, 10:13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And here it is in a nutshell, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. See, whosoever. The Bible says in Revelation 22, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever, see. See, it didn't say if Milton Taylor, if it had, then I don't wonder which Milton Taylor was talking about. Because I found there's more than one Milton Taylor. There's three in Greenville, counting me. And I'm glad I ain't one of them. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. When we moved to Greenville back 17, 18 years ago, one of my friends back over there in Georgia, preacher in Georgia, Brother Clint Kearns, he called and got hold of, you know, information to get, you know, my number. But she just pulled up, I guess, the first Milton Taylor. And it wasn't me. And so when this woman answered the phone, Brother Kearns said, may I speak to Milton Taylor? And the man's wife says, well, yes, but he's over here on the floor drunk. And I was glad that he didn't stop with that call. Wouldn't that have been something if that had got out across the country? So, no, I thank God I ain't touched a drop of liquor since God saved me, thank God. Amen. Yeah, I'd rather have iced tea. But whosoever, you can put your name in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you can put your name right there, whosoever, see. Anybody can be saved. They want to be saved because Jesus tasted death for every man, the Bible says. See, amen. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering trustworthy. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, most people are not going to be saved, but it's not God's fault. See? No. The Bible makes it clear and plain in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in that, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And few there be that find it. That's the Bible, see? See, a lot of people have religion, but they don't have Christ. You can be religious, but lost. Nicodemus was very religious, but Jesus said, ye must be born again. See, I was a church member for years before I got saved. My wife was a church member for years before she got saved. See, I stood up in the pulpit and tried to preach twice before I got saved. See, if I'd have died while I was in that pulpit, I know where I'd have went. I'd have went to hell. Yes, see, preaching won't even get you to heaven. See, you want the church won't get you to heaven, getting baptized, keeping the Ten Commandments, living by the golden rule of the Sermon on the Mount, putting offerings in the plate every Sunday, having a position in church, singing in the choir, being a deacon or pastor, you name it. Listen, you got to be born again if you want to go to heaven. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. It's Jesus or hell. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said in John 10, 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So you can have religion up to here and die and go to hell. Hell is full of church members. There ain't no doubt in my mind about that. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And then will I profess unto thee, said Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work again. See? So I asked you, have you been born again? See? Have you been born again? Have you been washed in the blood? Whosoever will. You know, after the flood, there was only 8 people alive. I just reading lately where there was possibly 2 billion people that drowned in the flood. And I have no problems with believing that. And I'll tell you the reason why, Brother Jarvis. Them folks back then lived nearly 1,000 years old. So they just kept on multiplying. They kept on multiplying, see. And, you know, Methuselah lived to be 969, but man, a lot of the rest of them lived nearly that long. Jared lived 962 years. Adam lived 930 years. How would you like to live nearly 1,000 years? I see somebody doing that. I think I can agree with you, too. Whew. 1,000 years of trials. 1,000 years of aches and pain. In a way, I'd like to live 1,000 years old because I'd get to preach to my heart's content, I think. And I'd get to learn this Bible. You know, one of the things that bothers me is I'll die without knowing the Bible as much as I want to know it. And I study it. But that's a large book. And it's inexhaustible. The more I study it, the more I realize, hey, I don't know much. Well, coming back, but what I was going to say is, after the flood, God told Noah and his 3 sons to multiply, replenish, that is, fill the earth back up. So God did it with 3 boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. From Shem comes the Jew. From Ham comes the Canaanite, and I think some people in Africa. And from Japheth, of course, comes us Gentiles. See, but now you watch this. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, at the descendant of Ham, the Ethiopian eunuch, got saved. The next chapter, Acts chapter 9, a descendant of Shem, the apostle Paul, got saved. The very next chapter, Acts chapter 10, a descendant of Japheth, Cornelius, got saved. I think God's trying to tell us Jesus died for all. See? You can be saved. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to go to heaven with us? Don't you realize Jesus loved you and died for you? See? Oh, my. No wonder George Matheson's entitled song, Oh, love that wilt not let me go. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. I mean, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Did you know how much, Jesus loves you? If you read John 17, that's Jesus' great intercessory prayer. And in that prayer, he said that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Not almost as thou hast loved me, but as thou hast loved me. In other words, God said in this Bible, Jesus said that God loves me and you as much as he loves his own son, Jesus. I mean, if that wasn't in the Bible, I would have big problems believing that. But it's in there. It's in there. If we could grasp how much God loves us, he wouldn't have any problem, none whatsoever, out of getting you and I to obey him. See, it's easy to obey somebody you really love. See? But anyway, coming back where we were, whosoever, but then notice next of all, whatsoever. Notice the Bible says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. It didn't matter who it was, and it didn't matter what the ailment was. It didn't matter what the sickness was. It didn't matter whether it was leprosy or palsy. It didn't matter whether it was leukemia, cancer, heart disease. It didn't matter whether it was yellow fever, scarlet fever, or malarial fever, which was common, by the way, in that part of the world. A lot of malaria came from mosquitoes around the Sea of Galilee, I found out. See, where the Jordan River runs into the Sea of Galilee. See, but it didn't matter whether it was arthritis or rheumatism or bursitis. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter whether it was TB, diphtheria, cerebral palsy, or spinal meningitis. It didn't matter what it was. If they could just get in the water, they were healed. You say, what's the application? Doesn't matter what your sin is. If you come to Jesus, you'll find the blood of Jesus is adequate, efficient to cleanse from all sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. All sin, not 10 sins, not 100 sins, but all of them. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. It didn't matter what the disease was, if they could get in the water, they were healed. You know, it mentions three up here. The Bible says in verse 3, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Notice the Bible says blind, halt, withered. That's a beautiful picture of what we were like and what we were before we got saved. You say, what do you mean? Well, we was blind. Remember, Jesus healed a number of blind people, blind Bartimaeus and others too. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, you know the reason why it's so hard to win your kinfolks, your loved ones, and the people on the job where you work? You know why it's so hard to win them to God? The devil's got them blinded. That's the reason. I can remember how well the devil had me blinded before I got saved. I got saved when I was 20 years old. But I remember two different times, two different beliefs that I had before God saved me that had to have come from the devil. It sure didn't come from the Bible. It didn't come from God. The devil had me believing I'd have a deathbed experience. I believe the devil's got a lot of people believing that. I mean, the devil had me believing I could do as I please, forget about God till just before I died, and then I could repent and get saved. Folks, ain't but one thing wrong with that. There ain't but one deathbed experience in the whole Bible. And that's a large book. It's the thief on the cross. Just before he died, he said, Lord, remember me in thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. So somebody said this, there's only one deathbed experience in all the Bible that none might presume, but there is one that none might despair. But you better get saved now. Man, it grieves me, it pains me in the heart to see people sit on the pew Sunday after Sunday and never get saved and die and go to hell. That's so sad, that's so sad. Make sure you're saved, make sure you're born again. Because I'm telling you, I don't care what you do for God, you will not go to heaven if you don't get born again. I'm being your friend and telling you the truth. See? Then another thing the devil told me before I got saved. And I'll never forget it. This was one of those times when it seemed like, you know, he just spoke to me, you know. I was crossing Cedar Creek, a creek on the backside of my daddy's farm back in those days. And I was it's a dirt road. And I crossed that old concrete bridge, and there's a sharp curve. And I come around that curve, and there's a lot of pine trees there. And just all of a sudden, something said, you know God won't put you in hell. You know you do enough good to outweigh the bad. And folks, again, ain't but one thing wrong with that. The Bible does not teach that God has a pair of scales. In which if the good outweighs the bad, you go to heaven. If the bad outweighs the good, you go to hell. That is not in the Bible. It's not in there. See. So the devil blinds us. See. It's sad to see how the devil's got millions blinded. See. Sad. You take the Muslims, see. Man, those 19 that died back there, you remember those that flew those planes into the Twin Towers? They thought they was going to paradise for doing that. That's not in the Bible. It's not in there. See, Roman Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, you name it. Boy, these people got religion, but they don't have Jesus. They're not born again, see. And it's sad, boy. I ain't criticizing them. My heart ached for them because they'll go to hell, see. So, whatsoever, doesn't matter what the sin is. I mean, if you committed awful sin of adultery, you come to Jesus, God will save you and forgive you that sin. The sin of fornication, lying, stealing, taking God's name in vain. The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Hatred, bitterness, murder, sodomy. You say, wait a minute, preacher. A homosexual can't be saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Okay, I don't know how far a person has to go to be turned over to a reprobate mind, and you don't either. Because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll find whether there were some sodomites got saved. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're justified. It's right there in 1 Corinthians 6. Read it when you get home. Say, I remember we was preaching in Kentucky State Penitentiary back years ago, a match security prison. You had to go through several steel bars and, I mean, you know, gates, doors, whatever you call it, to get back there to preach to those people. And I remember I was up there preaching my heart out. And boy, you could sense the power of God working. And here came a man who slid in the altar, and he got gloriously saved. And he admitted he was a sodomite, that he was a homosexual. But I believe when a person gets saved, I believe he gets out of that lifestyle. I don't believe in such thing as a saved homosexual, no. I believe when a person gets saved, he repents of his sin. Jesus said, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you ain't never got out of the sinning business, you've never got saved. And I ain't talking about sinless perfection, but anybody in here that knows anything about God in the Bible and salvation knows you don't walk down these aisles and profess to be saved and go out and keep drinking your liquor and naked and pet and committing adultery and sodomy and reading Playboy magazine. If you do that, then you probably never got saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I mean, when God saved me, I threw my liquor away. I threw my rock and roll away. See, God saved me. I walked off the dance floor on the church floor and been there ever since. Hallelujah. And I love to go to church. Nobody has to pull me out of bed and on Sunday morning and say, don't you know what Sunday is? Time to go to church. No, I look forward to it. I love it, praise God. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, folks, if we ever get to the place where we're enduring this thing instead of enjoying it, then we need revival. We need revival. Because I don't know about you, but I love it, man. I even love the Wednesday night prayer meeting service. We men will meet in one room. The ladies will meet in another room on Wednesday nights. And I'll be sometimes so tired I can't hardly hold my head up from going meeting after meeting after meeting, see. And I've been going here lately, just one week after. Whew. But anyway, coming back where I am, but I get down on my knees and I say, oh God, thank you for the midweek prayer service. Woo! Hey, amen. I love to go to church. We don't have to endure this thing. We enjoy it. I'm not being mean either, but someone's got just enough religion to make us miserable. And you know I'm telling the truth. All right, no matter what your sin is, whosoever, no matter who it is, whatsoever, didn't matter what the disease was, if they could only get in the water with trouble, they were healed. No matter what your sin is, you'll come to Jesus, he'll save you and forgive you that sin. God said your sins and iniquities will remember no more. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah, thank God. Woo. I'm glad my past is gone, thank God. Amen. Thank God. John the Baptist looking at Jesus said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Under the old economy, the sin was covered, but brother, under this new economy, under grace, it's taken away. Yes, thank the Lord. Yes. Amen. But last of all, yeah, whosoever, whatsoever, but last of all, not whomsoever. Notice the Bible said here in the Word of God, And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. See, went down a certain season, troubled the water. Then whosoever stepped in the water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. That water had to be troubled. That fella here that Jesus healed right here without getting in the water, that fella apparently been laying there for a long time. And I can see just every time an angel came down and stirred that water, I can see him trying to get in the water, but somebody would beat him. Somebody would get in there ahead of him. I'm glad when it comes to salvation that the first one who comes to Jesus to get saved is not the last one. If the water's troubled, they can come in by the thousands and God will save every one of them. Hallelujah. But the water's got to be troubled. I mean, a fella can be laying there outside the pool and be one of those who's not crippled, you know. Maybe he's has a withered hand. The Bible talks about those who are blind, halt, and withered, you know. And by the way, I never did finish up on that, did I? We're not only blind, but we were what? Halt. That means crippled. The Bible has a lot to say about our walk. That means your conduct, deportment, behavior. But we just couldn't walk it till we got saved. And then withered, remember Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. Your feet speaks of your walk, your conduct, but your hand speaks of your service. And we tried, some of us tried to serve God before we got saved, and it blew up in our face. It just didn't work. Why? We didn't have a nature to make it work. I tried to preach before I got saved. You're talking about making a mess. Man, I made a mess. I couldn't even finish some of the sentences. I was so embarrassed. And people, you know, word got around, Milton Taylor's going to be a preacher. Milton Taylor's going to be a preacher. And then the next thing you know, some of the folks I used to, that crowd I used to run with, they'd come up to me and say, I hear you're going to be a preacher. I said, no. I said, God didn't call me to preach. God called me to farm. But then when God saved me, I'd have been disappointed if he hadn't called me to preach. That's the honest truth. I thank God for the privilege to try to preach the word of God at least. I love it. Thank God. It's wonderful to be saved, isn't it? Okay, so whosoever, whatsoever, but not whensoever. See, they could jump in the water every day, but no one was healed till the water was agitated. You know the message. You can come all you want to, but if the water ain't troubled, you don't get saved. That's John 6:44. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me, drawing. And I raised them up at the last day. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It took a mother to get you in your daddy and mama's family physically. And it takes the Holy Spirit to get you into the family of God spiritually. He's the one who performs regeneration. See, we repent and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit's the one who makes all that real right in here. And when he comes in, you'll know it. I mean, there's no way in the world. God, it's real and wonderful and big and powerful. He is coming there and you not know it. If you can get saved and not know it, you could lose it and not know it. Well, I can take you to the time and the place where God saved me. It was 44 years ago, this past July on a Wednesday morning about 9:30. I hit the altar. From my heart I said, God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Jesus, come in my heart and save me. Just like that. He did. I knew I was saved before I got off my knees. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. Whosoever, whatsoever, not whatsoever. I preach meetings in churches. I preach in some churches where they'll have me to preach a meeting every year. And boy, we'll go through meeting after meeting after meeting for years, and not much will happen. Then all of a sudden, bam. See, like everybody's going to get saved. See? Well, them's already saved don't get saved. Again, I ain't talking about that. But I remember I was preaching in a church in Fishersville, Virginia, back years ago. And I preached a number of meetings there. You know, we'd had some pretty good meetings, but nothing unusual happened. And so finally, in a meeting, I got in a rut. That'll happen sometimes to a preacher. So I went to the pastor. I told him, I said, man, he said, what do you think your people need? You're the pastor. You're with them all the time. I come once a year. There's no way in the world I know them like you do. What do you think your people need? He dropped his head. And here's what he said. He said, I believe 80% of my people are lost. It shocked me. And I really didn't believe that, neither. And then when we ate supper before the first service, his wife, she was real plain spoken, boy. Whew. She had as much boldness, I think, as King Kong. But she said, I believe 90% of them are lost. And then here's what she said. She said, because I know how they live. Well, I didn't believe it, but I sure wasn't going to argue with them. Like I said, you know more than I do. So I went to the pulpit that night, and I preached like every one of them was lost. And here they come down the aisle, just weeping and crying, getting saved, 5 and 6 at the time. Same thing the next service. The next, they started getting saved in that Christian school ahead. They started getting saved at home. We had around 30 saved in 5 days' time. Amen. See. You know what happened? The water had to be troubled. Yes, sir. See. There was a woman, 80-something years old, always sitting in the second pew, got saved in that meeting. Been going to church all my life, had never been saved. See? Yeah, I got a cousin, he's in heaven now. He was not a preacher, he was a farmer, but he's a very studious man. Had a whole bunch of books, and he really studied. And he wrote a tract and started to write a second one. And if he had it, he was going to entitle it, "You Too, Church Member, Need to Be Born Again." See? Oh, you're saved. You're born again. If you were to die today, where would you go? There's only two places. It's either heaven or hell. And I beg you, come to Jesus and go to heaven with us. Don't go to hell and burn forever. Can you imagine what it'd be like to burn forever? See? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. The Bible says in hell the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And hell, the Bible said, they have no rest day nor night, boys. It's wonderful when you get tired or sick and wild to be able to go to bed and get rest. They don't go to bed and get rest in hell. Are you saved? You can be. Would you stand your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, the musicians have come. Some of you may want to come to the altar while I pray. I beg you, come to Jesus and a crowd this large. There's probably somebody here needs to be saved this morning. Won't you just come on now. Father, God in heaven, Father, thank you for saving us. Jesus, thank you for saving my own soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I know I don't have to go to hell. God, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Oh, God, thank you. I can't thank you enough, Jesus. I thank you. I won't have to burn forever. God, please. Father, if there's anybody here lost in Jesus' name, save them right now, right now. Please don't let any daddy, mama, husband, wife, or boy or girl here, don't let them go to hell. Please save their souls. Grant them repentance. Give them the faith to believe right now, please, right now. Oh, God, those of us that's already saved, please give us a greater burden, a greater love for lost souls. Father, let's do what we can to try to keep people from going to hell. God, please break our hearts over so many people, God, in this country going to hell and around the world. Please, God, speak, God. Please send revival to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing. Get your hymnal turned to that one. That's hard to beat. Would you come while we sing? Come on. Would you come? Why go to hell when you go to heaven? Come on. Would you come? Come on. On that next stanza, sing it now. Would you come? The devil talk you out of it. Come on. On the next stanza, sing it now.
Come on.